Good morning. As you said, I am Michelle Gonzalez, and I'll be speaking with you about the greenhouse gas emissions and the microbial dynamics in bioenergy crops, specifically on retired marginal agricultural fields in the lower Mississippi alluvial valley. I would like to thank the contributions on the other authors on this project. They are listed below. This project was supported by the Agriculture and Food Research Initiative of the National Institute of Food and Agriculture, and this is our grant number for anyone who's interested. And I would also like to thank Kenny Kidd, Stacy Wilson, and Bryce Zimmerman, who are of great assistance in both the field sample and data collection, as well as laboratory analysis. The reasoning behind this study is we wanted to determine the ability of eastern cottonwood, or Populus deltoides, and switchgrass, Panicum virginum, to their ability to yield cellulosic bioenergy feedstocks on retired agricultural sites in the lower Mississippi alluvial valley. The reason we chose both cottonwood and switchgrass is because they both have low nutrient and agricultural chemical requirements, and they also have high annual biomass growth yield rates. I bet you're wondering what's so special about the lower Mississippi alluvial valley. It is centrally located, and it already has a well-developed agricultural infrastructure, including access to ports, rivers and ports, and railways to haul these biomass products, as well as a long growing season. The specific objectives for this study was to assess for switchgrass, eastern cottonwood, and soybean sorghum the methane rates, nitrous oxide rates, and carbon dioxide emission rates. We also wanted to take a look at the soil microbial biomass carbon and labile carbon. The reason we added that soybean sorghum treatment is because that is the conventional crop that is grown in that area, so we wanted to compare switchgrass and eastern cottonwood to a conventional crop. For our study design, we did have two study sites along the lower Mississippi alluvial valley, and you can see on the map, one is in Arkansas and one is in Louisiana. We had three treatments. The first was cottonwood, which will be referred to as cotton WD throughout the presentation, switchgrass, which will be referred to as switch, and sorghum soybean, which will be sorg soy. We had two replications per treatment per site, and here we have some photos from our site. The top, you'll see our cottonwoods. In the center, you'll see our switchgrass plots. And at the bottom, you'll see our soybean sorghum. And just to give you an idea of the heights, both of those guys are somewhere around 6 feet tall. So just bear in mind specifically the switchgrass and how much above ground biomass there is there. For our study sites, we had the first one was at the Stevenson Farm in Archibald, Louisiana, and it consisted of Foley silt loam soils and Gilbert Egypt silt loam soils, both of which are considered either poorly drained or somewhat poorly drained, while the rower research station consisted of Sharkey and Dacia clays. Again, both are either poorly drained or somewhat poorly drained. For our measurements, we did take four samples per plot using the static chamber method, and those samples were then analyzed using the gas chromatography method. For our soil samples, these were taken quarterly in tandem with the gas sampling. The labile carbon was assessed using the sequential fumigation and incubation method. The microbial biomass carbon was we used the fumigation incubation method. And then temperature and moisture measurements were also taken at each of those four samples every time we took the gas sampling. And those were using a K-type thermocouple thermometer and the Field Scout TDR 300. And here is a photo of our static chamber method sampling going on. Here we have our monthly carbon dioxide flux rates across all sites. At the bottom, you'll find your month and your year. And the carbon dioxide flux was measured in milligrams carbon per meter squared per day. The black dot indicates that sorghum soy treatment. The red triangle is the switchgrass, and the green square is the cottonwood. And I did want to highlight specific things that we did throughout the year. So from June to July of 2013 and 2014, we planted and fertilized our crops, and then we also fertilized our switchgrass. and we did harvest our cottonwood trees from October to November of 2013. And we did run a correlation analysis between the temperature and moisture and our carbon dioxide rates, and we did find that there was a strong correlation. We found that as our moisture increased at the site, the carbon dioxide would decrease, but as the temperature would increase, carbon dioxide would increase as well. Here we have our carbon dioxide flux by treatment, and the black indicates the sorghum soy treatment, the red is the switchgrass, and the green is the cottonwood, again measured in milligrams carbon per meter squared per day. And if you notice, the switchgrass does have the highest carbon dioxide flux across both sites. Here we have our annual carbon in above and below ground biomass. The black indicates that fine root carbon, the red is the coarse root carbon, the green is the harvested biomass carbon, and the yellow is the residue biomass carbon. And all the way to your left, you'll see the sorghum soy, then the switchgrass, and the cottonwood. And this was measured in megagrams per hectare. We did, again, switchgrass showed the highest carbon dioxide flux and biomass. So the carbon dioxide flux, this tells us that the carbon dioxide flux is affected by the biomass differences between the treatments. Here we have our monthly methane flux across both sites. Again, we have our month and our year along the bottom. Our methane flux was measured in milligrams carbon per meter squared per day. And we have the same site prep and harvesting as previously, that we planted and fertilized our crop and fertilized our switchgrass in between June and July of both July 2013 and 2014. And then we harvested our cottonwood trees October through November. And overall, we found no statistical differences between the sites or by the dates. However, I wanted to draw attention to this, to the months of June 2013 and July 2013 and 14, specifically for the sorghum soy treatment. Here we see that there are these slight spikes that we see. This corresponds, we notice that this does correspond to the planting and site preparation activities. But overall, we found throughout the year, the soil actually absorbed most of the methane. Here we have our monthly nitrous oxide flux rates across all sites. Again, month and date along the month and year along the bottom of our graph, and the nitrous oxide measured in milligrams carbon per meter squared per day. And black circle is the sorghum soy treatment, red triangle the switchgrass, green square is the cottonwood. Same site prep and harvest as the previous graphs. And again, we found no major statistical differences in the nitrous oxide between our treatments. We did see this slight spike in July of 2013. This could potentially be attributed to that to the soil disturbance and the fertilization that happens during that time span. Here we see our label carbon. This is by treatment. And the black indicates the sorghum soy, the red is the switchgrass, the green is the cottonwood, and this was measured in milligrams per kilogram. Again, we see that similar trend that we've seen in the graphs before, where switchgrass had the highest, it has the highest labile carbon, which does follow that carbon dioxide flux and biomass carbon differences. Here we see our fine root carbon, and this shows among the treatments and the study sites that we had. So you'll see Archibald on your left and Rover on your right. Again, sorghum soy is black, switch is red, and cottonwood is green. This was measured in kilograms carbon per hectare. And this, we see that same trend happening where switchgrass shows the highest fine root carbon. And this so this follows that same trend as both the labile carbon and the above and below ground biomass. Switchgrass did have that highest fine root carbon at both sites. So this was likely a major contributor to our labile carbon. Here we have our soil microbial biomass carbon, again by site and by treatment. Archibald on your left, rowers on your right. The black indicates the sorghum soy, the red is the switchgrass, the green is the cottonwood, and this is measured in milligrams per kilogram. The rower site did follow that trend of labile carbon and fine root carbon and above and below ground biomass. Overall, we found that our labile carbon and our biomass carbon both influenced our carbon dioxide flux rates. The switchgrass did show the highest biomass above and below ground, and this was likely to have contributed to having the higher CO2 flux. It also had a greater fine root biomass, which could be associated with that higher labile carbon at both sites. And then at rower, the higher labile carbon in the switchgrass did support higher microbial biomass carbon. As far as the methane and nitrous oxide flux rates, we did find no treatment differences. However, we did see those short-term spikes periodically. With the sorghum soy, you found that short-term increase in methane in the month following the planting activities, and the switchgrass and sorghum soy both had that short-term increase in nitrous oxide after fertilization. Do I have any questions?
Okay, we have time for questions. Yes.
I see a lot of variability in your results. What do you attribute this variability to?
Which specific graph are you looking at?
Just go to the next one.
Okay. Or go this way?
Yeah.
Okay. We did see that as far as we received a lot of negative rates, so that could, our negative numbers could attribute to that soil absorbing more. We did see that 2014 was a wetter year than 2013. That could have possibly attributed as well. And then also we found that at our Archibald site, we need to tease out our numbers just a little bit more for Archibald, because in the cottonwood treatments, we did have more woody and herbaceous vegetation outside of the actual cottonwood trees. So that's going to need to be, we're going to need to tease out those numbers a little bit more to make sure.
How is the moisture coincide with these different peaks?
The different peaks? For the most part, and I believe this was across both, we found that as the moisture would increase, that was the carbon dioxide. Honestly, I would have to look into that some more and then get back with you on that.
Talking about the correlations, you know, correlations.
Right.
Between gas flux and the temperature.
And
right. The moisture
is
higher than the correlation. Yeah. Is there any question?
Just curious about the numbers you obtained for root biomass. It seemed really low, but I could be wrong.
Okay, for fine root biomass?
Yeah, I'm just wondering, maybe it's just, it just seems like that's like close to 10% of the above ground biomass.
Okay, let's see. Okay.
So I guess it's just more maybe a curiosity about that dollar.
Okay, you're specifically looking at above ground biomass or?
Well, just the ratio of above ground biomass to below ground biomass there is really high, especially for switchgrass and sorghum soy.
Right. Now, as far as the switchgrass does have a pretty extensive root system, but if you notice from that first picture, it's very thick. As far as why we saw those numbers, what we did was we actually took samples and dug up, I believe it was 1 meter deep by 1 meter, Dr. Lichty, for our fine and coarse?
I'm going to show more of this.
Okay.
Before.
Okay.
Right,
and following in his presentation. So, any other questions?
Great. Okay. We're going to have another round of applause.